Turkey flips the switch on its most ambitious energy project. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, Europe has been seeking alternatives to the Russian natural gas market and has built up its stores. But Russian gas is still needed and is not under sanction like oil. Now Turkey is hoping it might have a solution after tapping into Black Sea reserves, and it's being activated today. The BBC's Victoria Craig reports from the country's north coast.
A new era in natural gas production. That is what state-owned Turkish Petroleum Corporation hopes will come from this sprawling construction site known as the Sakarya Gas Field Development Project in Filios, a city on Turkey's Black Sea coast. Today, the taps have officially been turned on, and natural gas is flowing up to this facility from 2,200 meters under the sea. It'll then be processed and transferred to Turkey's gas network.
Instead of buying natural gas from the international market, producing it locally is going to be creating huge amount of benefits for Turkish people. Less cost for the consumers, less cost for the industry.
That's Milan Biligin, the boss of Turkish Petroleum, which operates the site. All in all, the company claims when the first phase of this project is fully implemented by the end of this year, supplies coming through this facility will account for about 15% of the country's daily gas needs. That, the government hopes, will begin to reduce Turkey's reliance on other countries, including Iran, Azerbaijan, and Russia. Right now, Turkey buys 99% of what it consumes.
We still need to buy. And bottom line, I can say, yes, of course, it will create an additional options for the gas hub operations as well.
This all comes about 3 years after the largest ever natural gas discovery in the Black Sea. By the time phase two of this development is completed in 2025, Turkey hopes it will produce up to 35% of its domestic gas needs and allow it to sell to other countries. Here's energy analyst Gerald Kepes.
If there's a new gas source in Turkey, that could really signal the death knell of Russian gas into Europe.
While he said this discovery and subsequent production facility is a big achievement, Turkey's goal of not only becoming more energy independent, but beginning a natural gas exporting business are a long way off and an expensive endeavor.
We're talking several billions of dollars just to understand what else might be there. To do that with no partners, as they've been doing, that is an extraordinary effort. That's taking on a lot of risk.
Despite the challenges, back at the Sakarya gas field, hopes are high that this Black Sea facility will continue to benefit Turkey's domestic economy and help literally fuel the world. In Filios, Turkey, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. London's FTSE and European stocks are falling. Some of the worst performers are French car maker Renault, down 7%, and Deliveroo, down just over 1%. Residents have been fleeing fighting in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, fearful about dwindling food supplies and the collapse of medical services. A new ceasefire attempt failed for a second day, with witnesses reporting continued gunfire in the city of 5 million people. The BBC's Laquessa Barak talked to two women who live in the capital about the economic burdens people were already shouldering as the conflict broke out. The first woman you hear from is called Dahlia.
Life has become really hard for the vast majority of the people. The currency has no value. The fact that food prices have shot up, we're going from worse to worse.
Have you all got children?
I've got three boys.
Is that Tigreed, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, I've got three teenage boys.
What are your fears and hopes for them, Tigreed?
You know, there's so much uncertainty. I have one that is set to take his university exams. And he was just talking to me like, what's the point of exams? There is this sense of frustration and helplessness amongst the youth. They don't even dare to dream.
Those women speaking from Sudan. Spain's parliament recently introduced a range of legal reforms to sex education, abortion and period leave. It means that women who suffer with severe period pains will be able to take sick leave. This makes Spain the first country in Europe to have that kind of legislation. The BBC's Guy Hedgecoe reports from Madrid.
This was the parliamentary debate before Spain's Congress approved the Sexual and Reproductive Health Bill. The law includes a range of measures, including increasing access to abortion and introducing sick leave for women suffering severe period pains. Toni Morillas, head of the Women's Institute Department of the Equality Ministry, says women will be able to start claiming sick leave because of period pains in June.
Se reconoce como una incapacidad temporal especial. Esto significa que
this will be treated as a special temporary incapacity. That means that in the case of a woman having severe period pains which stop her from working, all she has to do is go to her doctor and she can request sick leave for the corresponding time, whether it be 2 days or 3 days for each menstrual cycle. And because it's treated as a special temporary incapacity, that means the state will help pay for the social security cost.
International Women's Day has become a big occasion in Spain in recent years, with massive demonstrations like this one in central Madrid. I'm going to see what some of the women attending this march think about the introduction of sick leave for those suffering period pains.
It's an advance. It's important that the government take into account the biology of the women and how we suffer our periods.
I'm in favor because I have very serious period pain and I have to take medication to suppress my periods. So I agree with the measure, obviously. The problem is you're still going to get discriminated at work, you know? Your boss is not going to like it.
According to the World Bank, women make up 47% of the Spanish workforce. What many women are wondering is how employers will react. La Fontana is a family-run bar and restaurant. The owner is Manuel Machado.
If it was something really serious, like a broken arm or leg, if she had cut her fingers, that's one thing. But if a woman suffers period pains, I'm sorry about that, but it's just not the same.
The cost of the sick leave, he says, might be too much for a small business like his, even though it's shared with the government. Such doubts will be put to the test when this new measure becomes a reality.
The BBC's Guy Hedgecoe reporting. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hansen for producing. Izzy Whitehead pressing all the buttons. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.